Father God, we thank you so much for who you are, Lord. You are a God who sees. You are a God who knows. You are a God who loves. You are Creator God. You, as we go through this list of prayer requests and so many things dealing with the physical body, Lord, and you know every cell in our bodies, and you care for us, Lord. You created these bodies, and as we've seen, these bodies are amazing, and they can heal. But Lord, we know there are times that we have issues and we need help from doctors and this and that, Lord, and we're thankful that you've given us those resources and that you care about our minds, you care about our hearts, you care about our spirit, Lord, and we're so thankful for that. We're thankful for this lesson in Ephesians, Lord, and your calling on each one of our lives, Lord, and the things that you have for us. And we pray that you would speak to us out of your word this evening, both through what you showed me to share with the ladies and also what you showed us in the book and in the lesson as well. So have your way with our minds and our hearts this evening as we sit at your feet and spend some time in your word and in fellowship with one another tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to read through the two verses that we have for tonight, which, you know, we dove into pretty deep as we looked at this lesson. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we talked at length last week about Ephesus and what that church was like, and that we went to Revelation and looked at the fact that God had one thing against them. They were very good servants, but he against them was the fact that they had left their first love. And so we talked about that first love and just the excitement for the first love and how you want to know everything about that first love and how it would drive us into the Word. We wanted to know Jesus and everything about him and the Father and the Spirit and they were lacking that. They had stepped away from that and had gotten so much into the doctrine and the service part of their relationship that they forgot about their first love. And they were urged to repent and come back to that place because that's the most important place to be. And so Paul is has a message for the church in Ephesus. And Paul, as we had said last week, is the writer of this book, and he describes himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ. An apostle means one who is sent, a messenger, and they are sent specifically by God. This word apostle is a sent messenger by God, and he says that there. He says that I'm an apostle sent by the will of God. So we know specifically that God sent him. And it is a specific message that he is sent with to the church in Ephesus. And it is specifically to the saints who are there in Ephesus. So this is the believers who are at Ephesus. To be a saint, all you need to do is believe in Jesus Christ and accept his gift of eternal life, his salvation. We don't have to do any works. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are considered a saint. So this is to the believers in Ephesus and to the faithful in Jesus Christ. And these saints, these believers were faithful, as we saw in Revelation. But again, they were lacking that intimacy that they once had with Jesus Christ. And so God had a message for them through Paul. And we know Paul always starts his letters with a very specific greeting to the churches or people that he writes to. And it usually deals with these two parts, grace and peace. And so he says in verse 2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to say that grace and peace, the only true source of them is God through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the only way that we find true grace and peace is through God. And so this combination of words, grace and peace, is mentioned 17 times in greetings, just in greetings alone, in books, in the Bible, 13 times by Paul in his various letters. So this combination is very important, grace and peace. Grace, Chuck Smith, who is the founding father of the Calvary Chapel movement, says this about grace and peace. He says, you cannot experience the peace of God without first knowing God's grace. Okay, so grace comes first, and with God's grace and experiencing and knowing God's grace, you can then have and experience God's peace. So there is a specific order, and you will see if you research Paul's greetings and you look at the 17 times that it's in the scriptures or the 13 times that Paul writes it in his various letters, that grace always comes first. And I'm going to go through and I'm going to give you, if you do want to look at them, it's in Romans 1:7, 1 Corinthians 1:3, 2 Corinthians, am I going too fast? Okay. Romans 1:7, 1 Corinthians 1:3, 2 Corinthians 1:2, Galatians 1:3, the book we're in tonight, the verse we're in, Ephesians 1:2, Philippians 1:2, 1 Timothy 1:2, Second Timothy 1:2, 1 Thessalonians 1:1, 2 Thessalonians 1:2, the book we just finished, Colossians 1:2, and the book that piggybacked that we did, Philemon, verse 3, 1:3, and Titus, 1:4. And you'll notice this combination comes out in the very first chapter, in the very first verses in every book. It is that important that we know that we need grace, because it will always say grace to you. And we need to be reminded so much that we have a gracious Father. God the Father is gracious to us. And secondly, he says, and peace from God, because the world offers peace to us in various ways, but it is very different. God's peace is different, and it comes only through relationship with Jesus Christ. We need the two in our walk. We need grace for salvation, and we need peace in this world, because this is a dark world. As we looked at our prayer requests, man, they wrapped around my page today. If we didn't have God and we didn't have peace and all this stuff is going on, it would be so hard. I don't know how people do it without the Lord. And even with the Lord, we see tragic things happen, right? Like our pastor, it still happens, but without the Lord, oh my. So we need the peace of God in this world, and we need the peace of God in our circumstances. The definition of grace is God's unmerited favor. And we might go, okay, that's what we always hear. Grace is God's unmerited favor. It's unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. Okay, well, what is unmerited? It is undeserved. It is unearned. There is nothing we can do to earn God's grace. It is free. One of the meanings is to credit to. God credits to us his grace, his salvation, the blood of his son, if we accept it. To look upon one with favor. And that's what God does with us if we accept what his son has done on the cross for us. That is grace. It is just an undeserved favor from God. Peace is tranquility. It's harmony or accord in a situation. It's contentment. It's rest. It's, in a military way, it's the absence of war. It is a state of our soul, an assurance of the salvation that is in Christ. And it's a state of not fearing any consequence, not fearing a punishment from God, because we do reap consequences for our sin. But separation from God because of our sin is taken care of on the cross. So, it's not necessarily a place of taking us out of our troubles, but it is a peace of heart in our hearts. It's a tranquility in our hearts, a contentment in our hearts because of what God has done for us, and knowing that he is in control and in control of all of our circumstances. So grace and peace are so important, and we know that they come from God. And they are gifts, and through Jesus Christ, and we can do nothing to earn them. So that's where I'm going with those scriptures. But I feel that the Lord gave me a story to share about grace. And just so we can go through a lesson. We went through it when we studied Colossians. I think we've gone through it many times. We go and we look at every scripture that says grace and peace. And my shirt says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith." So we know it's, and that's in our book of Ephesians 2:8. We know that grace only comes by faith, by believing, by trusting what Jesus Christ has done for us. I had looked up a couple scriptures. Grace is a continuous thing. continuous thing. It's not a one and done, but scriptures say he gives us grace upon grace. He says in 2 Corinthians, Second Corinthians 9:8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have the abundance for every good work." So his grace is sufficient. It's enough for us. In 2 Corinthians as well, verse 12:9, it says, "He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you.'" So it is enough for you. "For my strength is made perfect in weakness." As we look through these prayer requests, there's a lot of things that make us weak and tremble, right? But his grace is sufficient in every situation, sufficient in our lives. And it says, "Therefore, most gladly, I rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." So we walk in grace and we have his peace, and it's an ongoing work in our lives, grace. Salvation is once and for all when we accept it, but his grace continues to flow in our lives. So this is a story of grace. God woke me up in the middle of the night with this. And I'm like, okay, Lord, let's see how this is. I read it to Fred. He goes, "You wrote that?" I'm like, "Well, yes." But he's like, okay. So I was working security, you know, the kind where you sit in a room in front of a bunch of monitors or screens and watch everything that takes place in a store. Well, this one particular day, a gentleman came in. He was pretty average looking, nothing special to draw attention to him. He was dressed like everyone else, jeans, t-shirt, sneakers, like I said, pretty average. I had never seen him before, so I watched him carefully on the screen. He walked over to customer service and began talking to the manager, who looked a bit puzzled, and by puzzled, I mean shocked. This made me turn up the sound on the monitor and try to figure out what was happening. As I listened in, the conversation went something like this. "So, hi, my name is Josh. I'm not from here, but I'd like to do something. You see, I've been given a lot from my dad, more really than can be counted. I know that in a town like this, poverty-stricken, drugs, a lot of Section 8 housing, high crime, you name it, that people here can use help. I am so abundantly blessed beyond what can be imagined that I want to pay for every single person's bill today here." Again, the manager looked at him with raised eyebrows. She snickered and asked, "Why would you ever want to do a thing like that?" She asked, "Do you know what kind of people shop here?" He gently smiled and said, "Yes, I know. And I am willing to pay the price for each one of them." She said, "Okay." That made me look at all the monitors to see what kind of people is he paying for. First, I saw an elderly woman. She was hunched over from osteoporosis. She had a few vegetables, a small package of chicken, and a can of cat food. Oh, she was so thankful when the cashier told her bill had already been covered. She was so thankful that she opened up her little clutch change purse and pulled out two shiny coins. She put them in Josh's hand and said to him, "Pay it forward." Josh smiled with a gentle look and said, "Well done." Next, there was a young mom with three kids One looked like a newborn crying in a car seat. One, who was maybe four, was standing on the end of the cart, asking to buy everything in sight. And the third one, who couldn't be more than two, barely hung in her arms while she was trying to push the cart through the aisles. She looked so tired and almost sad. She picked up several items, looked at the cost, and then put them back. Only getting a few things, looked like essentials to me, nothing extra. I watched as Josh walked up to her and told her to fill her cart. The price would be paid. She wept. She said thank you multiple times and left with her cart almost overflowing. Next on a monitor, there was the local drug dealer. Everyone knew him and knew what he did. I wondered if Josh would really pay for him, too. Didn't seem like he deserved it. But believe it or not, his bill was paid for, too. He asked Josh, "What's the catch, man?" "There's got to be a catch." "No, there isn't one. But you must receive it. It's a gift." He snorted, "Okay." And he turned and walked out. His price had been paid. But he barely gave a look or another thought about Josh after that moment. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw a youngster in a big coat slip something into his pocket. He turned to leave the store without paying. Ah, a thief. Surely Josh won't pay for him. But Josh ran over to him, put his hand on the boy's shoulder, and whispered something in his ear. The boy shook his head yes, and turned around and walked to the register. With a look of shame, he pulled the candy bar out of his pocket and gave it to the cashier. She rang it up. Josh again patted the boy on the shoulder, looked at him reassuringly. "Take the candy bar. I've paid the price." Yes, Josh covered the thief's cost. Finally, I watched as the local jet setter walked in. He was in his fancy suit and shoes. He drove the most expensive car in the lot. He grabbed the highest quality, highest priced items in the store. I thought, surely Josh won't offer to pay for him. Obviously, he doesn't need it. But then the unthinkable happened. Josh offered to pay his bill, too. The man scoffed at Josh and said, "I don't need you. I work too hard and too long to get where I'm at. I won't give anyone else the credit. I earned this." With that, he paid his own bill and walked out of the store, not accepting Josh's generous offer. This continued all day. I watched customer after customer, bill after bill get paid. I shook my head in disbelief as I watched this all transpire. What kindness Josh has showed to these people. Some were grateful. Some just wept. Some were puzzled and confused. Some felt guilty. Some let him pay but had little response. Some were unthankful and didn't receive Josh's gift. Everything that left the store that day needed to be paid for or purchased somehow. Josh was willing to give it all to pay the price for everyone who came into the store that day. The choice was theirs, though. It was up to each person to receive the gift or not to receive it. Ladies, God paid the price for everyone's sin with his blood, or with the blood of his son. Jesus can be translated Yeshua, commonly known as Joshua. That's why I feel the Lord gave me the name Josh in the story. And he did it on the cross. It was and is a price, a debt, or a bill, if you will, that we could never pay ourselves. He did it for us. Freely, no catch, no strings attached, except that we must receive it. We have to accept it. This, ladies, is grace. We do nothing to deserve it. It's a gift, and it is free. But like I said, it is ongoing. We receive grace upon grace. I feel the Lord gave me that to share with you all just as a kind of a representation of what grace looks like in everyday language. And so I'm going to pray. I'm going to close us in prayer, and then we'll go into the book, because I feel she did a great job with the apostle stuff. I don't think she touched on the grace and peace as much, and so that's why I covered the grace and peace. And so we'll get into the lesson and look at the other aspects of it. So let's pray again, and we'll get into the book. Father, thank you again for your amazing grace, Lord. We sing the song, with amazing words, we're astonished, we're amazed, we're grateful, Lord, by your grace, that you would offer it to us, that you would step down from your throne in heaven to make a payment, that wasn't yours, to pay a price that wasn't yours, to pay a debt that we owed that we could never pay, Lord. It's just amazing. And may we always be thankful. And may we want to share this good news with others, Lord. And as Paul was sent as a messenger by your will to send this message out, may we be willing to share this message as well of your grace and the peace that is available to those around us, Lord. So now as we look at this lesson, Lord, would you continue to speak through us, through your word and through this book that you've given us, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So y'all can unmute and turn to page 9 in your book, lesson number 1, opening God's treasure chest, it says. She encouraged us in this paragraph on page 9 to pay special attention to the treasure of the riches that we have in Christ. So as we go through the book of Ephesians. So on page 10, out of God's word, and, you know, this is open to anybody who wants to answer the questions. Number 1, it says, Paul, what does Paul say about himself in verse 1?
That he's an apostle of Jesus Christ.
And in Ephesians, this was jumping ahead a little bit, Ephesians 3:1, what does he say about himself?
Prisoner.
Yes, prisoner. It said, using an English dictionary, what is the definition of an apostle?
Sent on a mission.
One who is sent on a mission. How does Paul say he became an apostle?
By the will of God.
God's will.
God's will. What else do these scriptures tell you about Paul? It asks us to look at Romans 1:1. What does that say? Okay. So I heard called to be an apostle. Jackie, what did you say?
Bondservant.
He was a bondservant.
Set apart for the gospel.
Yes. How about Galatians 1:1?
It said, sent by Jesus Christ and God the Father.
Okay, so sent by Jesus and God the Father. What else did it say about him?
He's raised from the dead.
Who was raised from the dead. Did it say anything else about him?
Not sent by man.
So he was an apostle sent by God, not man. So that's important to remember. And then it went on. What these verses do not reveal is that Paul is writing from a prison in Rome sometime between 60 and 62 AD. So He, even though he was a prisoner, literally for Christ, in chains, he was still willing to spread the message that God had given him. Page 11, number 2, Paul's readers. How does Paul describe the readers in verse 1?
Yes, faithful in Jesus Christ.
Faithful in Christ, and what? How else? Saints. Where are those he worked? I'm sorry. Where are those he is writing to located?
Ephesus.
Ephesus.
Ephesus. Yes. What do you learn about Paul's ministry to these believers in Acts 20, verse 31?
He's warning them about false teachers.
Warning about false teachers. What else?
Telling them to turn away from sin.
Turning away from sin. Yep.
On their guard.
To be on guard. Yep. How long had he been with them?
3 years.
Yeah. 2 years.
There were two different stints, and so totaled up to 3 years.
Yeah.
And how did he feel about these people? This is something that was in there, but what emotion does it say Paul was experiencing?
Yeah. He advised them and admonished them with tears.
With tears. Yeah. Yeah. It brought him to tears, and that he was, this was day and night, mm-hmm. right? How widely was the message spread according to Acts 19:10?
All of the inhabitants of Asia heard the word.
So throughout the province of Asia, and to who?
Both the Jews and the Greeks.
Jews and Greeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the message went abroad there. According to Acts 19:19, what was the response among those who practiced magic?
Who publicly burned.
Okay. What else?
They burned their books.
They burned their books.
What was the value of 50,000 pieces of silver?
Mm-hmm.
The scrolls. They burned the scrolls.
Mm-hmm. What else does it say? Like, what emotion did they end up feeling?
Well, they confessed. They confessed to their wrongdoing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I didn't get what emotion they.
Okay. Well, it says that a fear fell on them all, and this was a reverent fear fell on them all. What does it say about the name of the Lord that happened? Anybody get that?
Name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jesus was magnified, held in high honor because of this message. Now, this did not fare well with the economy there. I think we get into that later, but this paragraph says Ephesus was the flagship of the churches in Asia Minor. Paul had planted the church. He had spent 3 years building up the church body, and later he had sent his young associate Timothy to pastor the church. Ephesians was not written to counteract any heresy or confront any specific problem. No, it was written to encourage his beloved friend. But being the teacher he was, Paul could not help reminding his friends how powerfully they had been equipped and experienced the treasure of God's blessing in Christ. And we need to remember how powerfully equipped we are by God in Christ. Number 3, Paul's greeting, and we just went over all this, but what two riches and blessings does Paul point to in verse 2?
Grace and peace.
What is the source of these remarkable blessings?
God.
Mm-hmm. Our Father and the Lord.
Yes. And now into the heart section. I love these sections in this book as it gets a little more personal. It says Paul was a sent one, a messenger to delegate whose mission was, I'm sorry, a messenger or a delegate, that is, whose mission was to be God's representative. What do these following verses teach about our mission? Matthew 28:19-20.
Make disciples.
Baptizers. Mm-hmm. What else?
Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded.
Yeah, teaching obedience. And there was a reminder, he said, that we're to be letting people know. Did anybody write down the reminder? God is with us. How about Acts 1:8?
We will have power and ability.
We'll receive power, yeah.
Mm-hmm. To do what?
To be
witnesses.
To the ends of the earth.
And where to?
The ends of the earth.
To the ends of the earth. Whatever place we are in, no matter where we are, we're to be witnesses. How about 2 Corinthians 5:20?
We are ambassadors
for Christ.
Ambassadors for Christ. Now,
so we are reconciled to God.
We are reconciled to God.
Yes.
Pleading on behalf of Christ.
Pleading on behalf. Does anybody know what ambassador means? Pastor Fred spoke on it Sunday. A representative. It's one who represents another. So we represent Jesus to the world. Then it says, note several ways you can send a more accurate and consistent message about Jesus to those closest to you. What are ways that we can be his ambassadors?
Acting according to his word.
Acting. Living it out. How else?
Showing it by sending cards or
yes.
Writing a letter, giving out tracts from
yes.
the church.
Yes.
Inviting someone to come to church with you or to Bible study.
Yes.
Taking part in special community faith-based events.
Mm-hmm.
Anything.
Mm-hmm.
Stand up for what's right.
Standing up for what's right. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Helping people in need.
Helping people in need.
Mm-hmm. Against what's wrong.
Standing up against what's wrong. Mm-hmm. Simply telling somebody, right? And
I was also thinking in this volatile world that we live in with the way the political climate is now, be very easy to lambast
mm-hmm.
One group or another, one party or another. And we all think that's what Jesus wanted. Mm-hmm. Naturally, can't let injustice go. Mm-hmm. Of course, we have to speak out about them.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone doesn't believe the way you do, I mean, you can't treat them as lepers or say they're wrong. It's just
right.
Wrong.
Because what does that show them about grace?
Nothing. They don't have it.
Yeah, they're lambasting people.
Yeah.
It does no good. Right.
And there's a lot of that going on.
There is. You see that a lot in social media. Somebody will post something. And then they get lambasted, crushed with responses. So I agree with that. And what does that say about our speech? It should always be seasoned with what?
Pepper. Grace.
Grace. Pepper. Yeah, pepper helps too. But, no. But our, and you know, and salt, right? We're to be the salt of the earth. And why is that? Because salt makes it palatable. Easy to... right? So seasoned with grace. Grace is just grace here today, right?
Yes.
And I think one of the things that we neglect as believers that we can do to give this message is prayer. Mm-hmm. It is the most powerful tool that we have. So praying for people. And we often saw Paul praying for utterance before he ever spoke to anybody. He would ask people, well, I'm going here. Pray for me that I have the right words or things like that. So Paul referred to the Ephesian believers as saints. as set apart ones. They were not saints because they were dead. In fact, they were very much alive, alive in Christ. They were not saints because of any merit of their own. No, they were described as saints because they were set apart by God to devote themselves to a holy and pure way of life. How can you better devote yourselves to a holy and pure way of life? Anything on your list?
To be in the Word.
In the Word, in the Word, in the Word, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Set a time for prayer and meditation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and throughout the Word, it talks about people meditating day and night. Mm-hmm. And meditating is sitting on that and thinking on it, dwelling about that. And it may be a simple word, like I am meditating, or I meditated on grace these 2 weeks. They meditate day and night, but it's in a different, it's like out of religious obligation way. What are other ways that we can devote ourselves to the holy and pure life? So we talked about prayer, we talked about being in the Word, meditating on the Word. What else can we do?
Confess sin and repent.
Mm-hmm. Repentance.
Just focus on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even outward works like doing others mm-hmm. without getting anything in return, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and getting involved in faith-based
ministries
mm-hmm. that you mm-hmm. truly believe mm-hmm. in.
Yeah.
I think we have to love Jesus.
We do.
Yep, we love first, and all that stuff is
what
we'll do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Yeah. That would be first and foremost before anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. that would. Mm-hmm. I had added to that list spending time in worship, and by worship I mean musically,
mm-hmm.
you know, and praise songs. It can change our mind. It can change our state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important, you know, but also our lives and our actions, ministries, different things we're involved in, loving Jesus first, and everything else is an act of worship, the way we live. So did anybody else have anything to add there, or we'll move on to the next one?
I was going to say, devote yourself to holy and pure by guarding your heart and guarding what goes in
mm-hmm.
to your ears, your eyes. I mean, even if it's down to watching TV, or not that that's bad, but the things you watch or the things you read or the things, you know, just to kind of be aware of what you're letting in.
Absolutely.
And like you said, the music, listening to music, letting that in and wash over you is great. But then there's the other side of the other stuff that could also invade your heart. So,
yeah, that's great. And we'll, when we get towards the end of Ephesians, we'll be talking specifically about that with the full armor of God and the protection that comes from that. But we'll get to that. So page 13, Paul also referred to the Ephesian believers as in Christ Jesus. He uses this phrase or variation of it some 10 times in the first 14 verses to stress our union with him. We have a relationship with God only because of Jesus Christ, and only because we are in him through belief and trust in him. As believers, we have faith in Jesus, but we are also to be faithful to Christ. What changes must you make to enhance your reputation as one who is faithful to Christ?
This is a personal.
It is pretty personal.
And I'm thinking it.
Yeah. I think in general terms, you know, we need to be doers of the Word and not just hearers. We can read and read and read and read, but if we don't follow it, we don't obey it, it's never going to change us, right? We need to allow it to do its work. We need to walk in his ways. You know, there are several scriptures that tell us to walk as Jesus walked, to follow his example. So living it out. Our walk must follow our talk, because if we're telling people about Jesus, yet we live in a contrary way, it is, that does no good.
The other thing I think that we should try to do whenever we can, or when the opportunity arises, is to pray with others, specifically about something that they're sending or something, or just pray with your children, pray with them every night, and go for their hearts out, you know, and just pray with them.
You know, it's amazing if you're out and you know, the Lord will give you a sense. You just can tell by somebody's face, by their countenance sometimes, and just simply asking, is there something I can be praying for you for? And maybe that might not be the appropriate time to pray, but them knowing, or sometimes it is an appropriate time to pray. But if we know somebody, or somebody asks us to pray for them, then take a second right then to pray with them, because we often walk away and forget and we don't pray. Yep. So I know that we're doing that a little different with all of the prayer requests we're listing in our group, but I'm trusting that we're praying for these as we go through. But that's so true, Helen. The praying is so important.
That's a real blessing, especially if, like, you have children or grandchildren, you might as well get started real early. They know how important prayer is in their lives. You know?
Little Micah, we pray. You know, he's a year and a half. We'll pray for dinner, and when we finish praying, that little boy's going, amen! You know, and he's a year and a half. So, but I want to tell you a neat thing about prayer. Fred told me I should share this tonight, and I really don't know where it fits in, but I was invited to share a prayer meeting this morning with a really good friend, and she does it every Monday. And I'll be honest with you, ladies, I get in a place where my circumstances consume me sometimes, and I do not want to hop on this prayer meeting, and I don't. And it is not right that I shouldn't, you know, for that reason, but I don't. Well, today I decided, considering some of the circumstances that have been going on, that I needed to be a part of these prayer meetings. And so I hopped on today, and one of the ladies said, you know, I want to give a praise for my daughter. She's graduating in May, and we prayed last time for her. She kind of isn't walking great with the Lord, and we prayed for direction for her, what her next step would be. And she said, I want to tell you, ladies, 2 hours after I prayed this, my daughter called me and said, Mom, I want you to know that I got an email, and I've been accepted into this program at University of Buffalo, and I've accepted it, and this is the path I'm going to take. She goes, and it's kind of, and her mother said to her, wow, that's amazing. I just prayed 2 hours ago for that very thing, that your path would be shown to you. And she goes, yeah, I got that email 2 hours ago. And she said, Mom, I prayed last night. She goes, I haven't prayed in a long time, but I prayed last night about my path. And so I felt the Lord stirring me. And after a few other prayers were prayed, I said, ladies, I need to ask for prayer. The Lord is stirring me. I need to ask for prayer for my daughter, Mariah. She also is graduating in May. And she is straddling the fence. She has 1 foot in the world, and she has 1 foot in with the Lord. And it's not a good place to be, I said, but she has no path. And I'd like to pray the same thing for my daughter, Mariah. And so we prayed, and ladies, 2 hours later,
oh my goodness.
Got a text from Mariah. And I'm just amazed by prayer, okay? Because as I was praying this, I'm like, all right, I'm going to ask for prayer. And, you know, it's great for this mother. And while the Lord answered her prayers, and, you know, and I'm like, you know, that's amazing sometimes. And I'm sharing my heart how flesh works sometimes. In my mind, even though I'm asking for prayer and praying for my daughter, I'm going, but it's probably not going to work this way. You know, she emailed or texts me and says, got a tentative offer from TSA, so keep me in your prayers because this will be a great stepping stone for me to do bigger things after working for them a few years. I passed the exam. All I have to do is the interview, which makes me nervous. So I said, wait, what? Who is TSA? She said, like the airport people, the security, Transportation Security Administration. So she would be working security in airports. She eventually wants to land in the FBI. So this is a great stepping stone for her. And I was like, wow, Mariah, I prayed specifically for you and your next steps 2 hours ago. She goes, I got an email about this 2 hours ago. So prayer is powerful. God was directing our prayers as she was receiving this and confirming, and, you know, the same thing with this other person. And so as we went through the list of all of last week's prayers and the answer after answer after answer, prayer is powerful, ladies. And so please be praying for this next request over the next 2 weeks. And prayer is important. It's powerful, and it will enhance the reputation when others hear of God's answered prayers.
So I prayed over Nancy for his daughter and his wife to leave him. And he called me, well, the next day, he missed his flight because of Totem Taxi was late. I said, text him, God had a plan. You know what that plan was? What? His wife showed up, and they were able to have that a long time, intimate conversations, until they got on the plane today.
Yeah. And that's a testimony for Christ, because answers the prayer. Awesome. Paul concludes his introductory greeting with the claim that God the Father and Jesus together are offering grace and peace to believers in Christ. Grace means God's unmerited favor, and peace is what Jesus established between believers and God through his death on the cross. As a believer in him, you have peace in God and the peace of God. It's said to read Ephesians 2:8 and comment on God's grace in your life. You need to read it. It's right here.
That's right.
So what are we offered?
Well, we've been saved by God's grace. Through faith, not from us or our own doing. It is a gift from God.
And then it said, now read John 14:27 and write a sentence or two about how you should live your life as a believer. Some of these might be personal, but maybe somebody wants to share what the Lord showed them.
I put, I need to receive that peace continuously. My peace I give you. But if I don't reach out and take it, then his giving it isn't going to matter, you know? And same way with the grace, to receive it and believe it and continuously do that.
Yes, they are both gifts that need to be received.
I wrote, live life for the Lord. His love strengthens us. His peace and grace wash over us and make us whole in Christ Jesus. Take time to pray and be in the Word every day.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else want to share?
I put a note, and I think it was related to the other question above it. Don't lead others to believe that I support what is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when storms come your way, don't be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the end. You bring us through, and there's always that blessing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think we probably all discovered that.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we look at situations, circumstances that people walk through and we're like, how can they be so strong through this? Or how can they be, you know, getting through this? I would crumble under that, you know, and it's the peace of God and the grace of God to get through certain situations.
This was so wonderful.
Does anybody want to read the heart response out loud on page 14? I feel like I've been talking about it. Who wants to read it? Anybody?
I'll read it.
Hey, Barb.
Okay. Paul had a deep love not only for Jesus Christ, but for the people in the body of Christ in Ephesus. The church there had weathered many trials and withstood the influences of a pagan society. Therefore, Paul was eager to show his love for his readers and remind them of God's love and mercy for them as they stood firm against the worldly pressures that surrounded them. Because of their relationship with God through Christ, Paul wrote to encourage them by reminding them of the riches and blessings that were theirs as believers. Allow Paul's salutation to the Ephesians to bring grace and peace to your heart as you acknowledge your blessings in Christ. Don't fail to enjoy the treasure that to be found in God's Word. Count on it, look to it, and trust in it. And when you do, your life will be transformed, others will notice, and most important of all, God will be honored.
Amen. Does anybody have anything to add, share, question? Questions, anything?
I have three more prayer requests.
Oh, three more prayer requests. All right. Open your books, ladies.
I'm hoping to do some type of ministry over the summer at the church across the street from one of the schools that I work at.
Yeah.
I've been trying to do it for a couple of years now, quite a few years now, but I haven't made the right connections, but I have a connection now, and I can actually call the pastor and talk with him mm-hmm. about that. So just pray for that.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for Keith to get like a steady job, or several jobs that can be the equivalent of a job.
Mm-hmm.
the project that he was on is over, and I'm not happy with that
mm-hmm.
company at all.
And mm-hmm.
He needs something steady.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Has he got his feelers out? With his
yeah, he has a possible freelancing thing, but he either needs, you know, a lot of freelancing or something
mm-hmm.
else. So.
Mm-hmm.
And your ministry this summer is with kids, right?
My idea is to do either a musical that would be like a gospel outreach musical, or do like the wordless, the children's Bible story mm-hmm. Bible, Jesus mm-hmm. story book Bible mm-hmm. with young kids. I need somebody to help me, but I can't do it by myself, so pray for that too. And then finally, I have a friend from college. She's not even really a good friend. I don't really know her that well, but she needs a kidney. And so I'm going through the process of trying to get my kidney to her. So I think I'm farther along than any of the other candidates have gotten.
Her is being a match.
I'm a match. I just have one more blood test and then a whole day of testing.
Mm-hmm.
But I pray that the Lord will lead, and if for some reason I'm not meant to give my kidney mm-hmm. because I might need it. I mean, that's kind of what the testing is about, to make sure I won't, it's not likely that I'll need.
Yeah.
And that's
why God gave you two so you can share.
Exactly. Yeah. And that was my thinking. I mean, I really, it's kind of funny. Like, what's your relationship? Well, I went to college with her. You probably had like three conversations mm-hmm. with her, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Boy, what an opportunity.
But I thought it would be a good witness. And we've been praying for her, and I've offered prayers for her, and she says that yes, that would be great. I don't think she's a believer, but, you know, she's a mom, and she's...
She about your age?
Yeah. So.
That's quite a sacrifice.
It is. Well, we'll see, you know, and I just, yeah, like, I want leading, like, I don't want to just... I kind of just was like, oh, I should try that, and then it... I didn't expect it to work out. I thought that the initial questionnaire wasn't going to work out, and then it did, and then... So... But just pray for my mom, and that if it does happen, just pray for her, because she's really like nervous.
Mm-hmm. Did you tell her?
I haven't told her that I'm back to be a candidate. I want to wait. She'll just worry, and I'm not going to let her know until it's a for sure thing. So then she can only worry for that long.
Yeah.
The process will be before you know for sure.
I have no idea.
Okay.
I have to get this one more blood test to make sure that my heart will be healthy enough. Mm-hmm. And then I have a full day of testing that I have to go to Geisinger in Pennsylvania to do all sorts of testing. So.
Wow.
So.
What a gift it was, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh. Well, you know, if it's the Lord's will, I'm going to have it.
Yeah, I guess that's how, kind of how I'm looking at it, you know.
That's pretty much it. All right.
Is there anything else from anybody?
I'll just share the fact that with the kidney, I lost a kidney myself.
Yeah.
And the recovery really isn't, it's not an awful thing. I mean, yeah. I didn't have a hard time with it at all.
Oh, good.
So just to ease your mind as far as that.
Yeah.
Was she a kidney donor? Or
she lost the kidney with that tumor.
Oh, she lost the kidney. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But so it wasn't a big of
no. But, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You function all right with one.
Function all right with one. And the experience of losing the kidney, I mean, all you have to be aware of is you're working with one. So you want to make sure that your fluid intake is up there.
Yeah.
Just to keep it.
Yeah.
But you'll do just fine.
Yeah.
Wow. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you. Yeah. It's encouraging.
Yeah. God gave us two kidneys. Jossie Kate. We had to give one to somebody,
You never know.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't we our bodies are
beautifully and wonderfully made, we are.
Yeah.
All right, anything else? Wow, tonight's been so encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right, so we will see everybody Let me pull up my calendar because it would be May. It would be our next gathering.
Oh my gosh,
in May.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. So we'll see everybody next week. Everybody. Number two.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
And as I said last time, if you need anything in the meantime, any prayer requests, send them to me and I can send them out to the group. Or if you have an awesome praise you'd like everybody to know, we can send that out too. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Good night. Good night.